Heavenly Father, your word is a light to our feet and a lamp to our paths. And we pray that you would be shining that light on us now as we look at Exodus 18. Be at work in our hearts. Help us to trust you and our Lord Jesus and live for you more because of what we learn today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope you've got Exodus 18 in some kind of Bible in front of you. There's a reminder on the screen, I'll just go back to, thank you, Dominic, that we are encouraging people to have a change in their Bible reading over summer. So this is in the church email and also an email earlier in the week. Do sign up for one of these books if you'd like one by tomorrow morning, because that's when I'm doing the order. Thank you. Oh, that one's whistling as well. Yippee. There we go. Right, so Exodus 18. Well, the Olympics have started in Japan, and seems, apart from the fact there's no spectators and lots of competitors are having problems with coronavirus, it's going quite well. It's amazing. Millions ploughed into running something, and it's still really difficult. But have you ever noticed that when you turn up here at St. Lawrence, every Sunday, pretty much, it's clean, you're welcomed, there's music, readers, people praying, Sunday clubs happening, there are refreshments, you don't have to pay for it, and it all happens. What makes that happen? Why do the people who do it voluntarily, most of them, all of them, except for me? What qualifications do they need? Maybe you're here today or watching online, you're not yet a believer. Have you noticed that the things that you go to the theatre for and pay a big ticket price for and they pay lots of money for, they happen here every Sunday, just like that, without a fuss? What makes that happen? Well, these events of years ago in Exodus chapter 18 can help and motivate us to join in with making that happen, or understand how it happens. What is the story in a nutshell? Well, we've come to a point where we meet Jethro. Now, years before, Moses and Jethro knew each other because Jethro is Moses' father-in-law. Moses, years before, had to escape from Egypt because he'd done some wrong stuff and was being caught. He met Jethro's daughter, married her, and then he went back to Egypt to do all the things we read about with all the plagues and all that. And at some stage before Moses and the people all left Egypt, Moses' wife and children went back to dad, Moses' father-in-law Jethro. And then Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt. And now in chapter 18, Jethro comes back with Moses' wife and sons. And we see Jethro being converted and being a consultant in chapter 18. Jethro sees how great the Lord is, how important it is that people live for the Lord. And we're going to see from that something about our lives. So here's the first thing from verses 1 to 12. The great thing that God has done for us. And it's this. In Jesus, God provides a rescue that is for anyone. Yes, we'll see Jethro in just a moment, but let's think about Jesus. In Jesus, God provides a rescue that is for anyone. Jesus himself was a Jew. He lived in Palestine. We're not. We don't. But that's okay. The rescue is still for us. Some of us are black. Some of us are white. That's okay. The rescue is still for us. Some of us are young or old or English or not. Or we live in SM4 or SM2. It's okay. God's rescue is for you. Here's a lovely Cheryl call. She went to America a few years ago to try and do X Factor there. Had to come home again because no one could understand her Geordie accent. You can be a Geordie, and the rescue of Jesus can be for you. This is the great thing that God has done for us. In Jesus, God provides a rescue that is for anyone. And Jethro, here in chapter 18, is an outsider who comes to faith in God. So far in Exodus, all the people who have known God and trusted him have been Israelites. The Israelites are the goodies. Anyone else is effectively a baddie. So Egypt and the Egyptians, excuse me a moment. Egypt and the Egyptians they're not in. The Amalekites, another nation, we heard about them, end of chapter 17. No, no good. Midianites, well, we're going to hear about Midianites later on in the book of Numbers. They're baddies too. In the book of Numbers, they curse God. But here's Jethro, and look at verse 1 of chapter 18. Now, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and father-in-law of Moses, heard of everything God had done. He's a Midianite, and he's a priest. So not only is he from a foreign country that doesn't worship God, he actually helps them to worship a false god, because he's a priest of whatever the false god of the Midianites is. And Moses meets his father-in-law, and what does Moses do? Have a look at verse 8. Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and about all the hardships they'd met along the way, and how the Lord had saved them. Moses praises God to Pharaoh. Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the hardships they'd met along the way, and how the Lord had saved them. Moses praises God to Jethro. Did I say Pharaoh before? I might have done. He praises God to Jethro. How does Jethro respond when he hears about this? Oh, don't be so daft. I worship the God of Midian. How dare you tell me this? No, verse 9. Jethro was delighted to hear about all the good things the Lord had done for Israel in rescuing them from the hand of the Egyptians. He said, praise be to the Lord who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and of Pharaoh, and who rescued the people from the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this to those who treated Israel arrogantly. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and other sacrifices to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat a meal with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. Wow! He was a priest of another religion. Now he serves the Lord. He's been converted. It's wonderful. And it's not just wonderful for Jethro. It's wonderful for us because here, at this stage in the Bible, just a few pages in, we see a promise on its way to being fulfilled. Which promise? Well, back in Genesis 12, God made a promise to Abraham. Years before this happened, Abraham was old and childless. God promised he would have a big family, as many as the sand on the seashore. And in Genesis 12:3, he promised that that family would be a blessing to the nations. Through his descendants, all peoples on earth will be blessed. And we're looking, as we go through the Bible, to see this promise fulfilled. Remember, we can also express it in terms of God's people in God's place under God's rule and blessing. Is it happening? Part of the blessing, of God's blessing, is blessing to the other nations. Well, up to now, what have we seen? Joseph, yeah? In the book of Genesis, remember Joseph and his brothers and the coat of many colours? Joseph ends up being a great blessing to Egypt, saving thousands from famine. So there's Joseph. And now here we've got Jethro. It's a little thing, but it's a wonderful thing. Because instead of people from other nations being an abomination and being told, keep out, Jethro comes to the Lord. Comes to the Lord. Abraham's descendants are starting to be a blessing to the nations. And this is truly fulfilled, ultimately, in Jesus. Jesus, who in his ministry went to the Gentile areas and told them about God and healed them. Who, in Capernaum, healed the Roman soldier's servant, the Roman soldier, not a Jew. And who really, ultimately, on his death on the cross, died for anyone, Jew or non-Jew. Here's what John writes of Jesus' words in John 12:32. He says, Jesus said, I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Jesus said, I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, in other words, on the cross, will draw all people to myself. Not just the Jews, but Jews and Gentiles together. This is what Jesus does on the cross. You see, back in Exodus 18, the Israelites have been saved. They've been rescued. And that's a picture of the cross. The cross is about being rescued. Here's a good old illustration that I'm borrowing. And you might have heard this before. But let's imagine that. Let's imagine there's a landlord. Lots of these around. And this guy goes out and buys a really nice house, does it up beautifully, and lets it to a friend. And the friend is paying his rent every month, and that's great. And they ring each other up occasionally. Oh, hi, how you doing? It's all very lovely. And then the landlord notices 1 month the rent is a bit late, a few days late. And the next month, it's even more days late. And the month after that, no rent comes. The landlord's thinking, it's a bit funny. Oh, sure, there's just some problem or other. I'm sure it'll come in. The next month, no rent at all. Well, the landlord goes around to the house, and the weeds are starting to grow in the garden, and the front garden's looking a real mess. Brings his friends up. Click. Text them. No reply. Knocks on the door. There's a twitch of the curtains, but nothing. Oh, no. What's he going to do? Well, he gets onto the lawyers, doesn't he? I really like my friend, but we've had several months now of no rent, and he's not replying to me. He's going to be evicted. And that little story is a picture of what we've been like with God. God has given this wonderful world to live in. And we've basically ignored him, rejected him. We haven't answered his calls. We haven't looked after his property. What will God do with us? The Bible says we face his judgment. We're going to be kicked out, as it were. We face an eternity without God once we're dead. And life within this creation without God as well. But what if, back to our landlord with his flat or house, what if the landlord's son says, hey dad, look, let me go round. And the son goes round and he mows the lawn, he digs up all the weeds, he goes to his bank account, pays off all the debt, knocks on the door, and the door is opened. And he says to the tenants, look, I've done everything. All we need to do is say thank you and we can carry on from there. Well, it's wonderful, isn't it? The problem's solved. All they have to do is kind of receive that. And this is what God has done for us on the cross in Jesus Christ. It's what Jesus has done. He's paid the debt. And he knocks at the door to us and says, open up, let me in. I've done it all for you. And that's the rescue we have. And it's a rescue that is for anyone. It's not just a rescue for a certain kind of person who lives in a certain place or looks like a certain thing or speaks in a certain way. It's a rescue for anyone. Just as Jethro came to the Lord from Midian, so we can come and know Jesus from anywhere. It's a wonderful, wonderful good news. The great thing God has done for us in Jesus, God provides a rescue that is for anyone. Just notice two little things about this. Moses himself goes cross-cultural, doesn't he? He succeeds where Cheryl fails, you know. He goes to this Midianite as they're there talking and uses testimony to share good news with him, with the foreigner. And testimony, speaking what God has done in our lives, is a great approach with people who otherwise, we might think, don't want anything to do with Jesus. It's a great approach for families, people of other faiths. Testimony. And notice the other thing, that Jethro responds with praise here. He praises the Lord. Praise be to the Lord. Verse 10. It's natural when we've been saved to praise God. And that's why we've missed singing so much and why it's been so great to be in the churchyard and sing. Because we want to praise God. But praise isn't just singing. Praise is our whole lives joyfully responding to God. The great thing, responding to the great thing that God has done for us in Jesus, God provides a rescue that is for anyone. Well, the passage continues and we discover the great thing that we can do for God. And what is that? Well, it is to respond to Jesus' rescue by living lives of service in Jesus' name. Here's the great thing that we can do for God, to respond to Jesus' rescue by living lives of service in Jesus' name. See, Jethro comes along and he sorts out Moses' stress. He is the Bible's first, well, the world's first, management consultant. Hands up the management consultants here. Sorry, no, you don't have to. Not sure there's many of you. But here is Jethro, the world's first management consultant. Verse 17. Moses' father-in-law replied to Moses, what you're doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen to me and I'll give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Well, why the hassle? Well, verse 14. When his father-in-law saw that Moses was doing for the people, he said, what is this that you're doing for the people? Why do you sit alone as judge while all these people stand round you from morning till evening? Yeah, why, Moses? And the answer is, Moses and the people are trying to live as God's people. It's a new thing for them. They haven't had to do this before, and they want to. They want to live as God's people. And they want to know, what does the Lord want? What does the Lord want? And so verse 15, Moses answered Jethro, because the people come to me to seek God's will. And Moses is the one who knows God, and he can tell them. Verse 16, whenever they have a dispute, it's brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions. And Jethro's solution for Moses' stress is not about just fixing a few people here and there. It's about the need for people to know what God wants. People need to know about God. And that's what Jethro's solution is about. So back to verse 19. Jethro says, you must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them his decrees and instructions and show them the way they are to live and how they're to behave. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials and so on and so on. Moses is to teach the people God's way and get men of integrity to help him so that more and more people can find out what God wants and follow him. This is all about living for God. And it looks forward to what's going to happen in the next few chapters, which is where we get what those decrees and instructions are, starting with the Ten Commandments in chapter 20. God wants his people to know how to live for him. They've been in Egypt under all the Egyptian systems. Now they're finding about the real God, Yahweh. So this passage, it reads a bit like it's a fix, isn't it? Jethro is sorting out how to sort out lots of people. But it's much more important than that. It's about making sure they can live for God. And the order in it, which is very important, is grace, then law. So grace, they are rescued from Egypt, brought into a relationship with God. And then comes, how do I live that out? What do I do? The law. Grace, then law. And that's important for us in our relationship with Jesus, because our natural instinct is to think that it's law first, that I've got to try and achieve everything that God wants, and then maybe he'll accept me. And the wonderful good news of the cross is, no, grace first. God says to us, come to Jesus. You know, Jesus is knocking at the door saying, I've done it all for you. Come to Jesus and receive God's love and forgiveness, grace. And then, followed by, how do I live for him? How can I live for him? Just to borrow another old story, which you may have heard before. There was a church leader once travelling on a train. And he noticed two men, same sort of age. One of them was severely disabled, needed everything doing for him in a wheelchair. And the able-bodied man, he said to him, because the other guy couldn't even speak very well, he said to him, what's going on? Why'd you do this? And he said, well, do you know, years ago, we were in a war together, and we were fighting with soldiers, and I was stuck in no man's land, I was wounded, and my friend here came out and started dragging me back towards our lines. Then a blast went off, and the next thing I knew, I woke up in hospital, and he was gone, and it was just me and the nurses and everyone. I got better, and here I am, I can walk and everything, but I inquired about my friend and discovered he'd been blown up by the explosion, and this is how he has to live now. So I decided I'd give up everything and spend my life looking after him, because he gave up everything for me. What can I not do for him? He gave up everything for me. What can I not do for him? And what Jesus has done for us is amazing. And we might say to Jesus, you've given up everything for me. What can I not do for you? There's no actual debt for us to repay, because Jesus pays every debt. And he does it out of grace. It's a gift. But what a way to respond with joy. I want to serve you, Lord Jesus. We respond to Jesus' rescue by living lives of service in Jesus' name. Now, let's not pass on without noticing Jethro's solution, because there is something interesting there, isn't there, that is about sharing the work. And it's a principle that the New Testament brings to the church, that of sharing the work. Now, I don't know if you like theatre. When we go to theatre, we sit down and we are spectators and we watch everything happen and then we enjoy it and go home again. And for some people, that's what church is like. Come in, sit down, watch it all, enjoy it, go home again. But that's not what God wants church to be like. And never in the New Testament does he say, oh, your local church is like a theatre. Instead, he says, it's like a body. A body where all the parts work. And they all do things. And they work best when they're all doing things and working together. And so this principle of responding to Jesus' rescue comes to the local church with Jethro's idea of sharing the work. Share the work of being the local church. Every part is needed. What part can you play? It's never a case of saying, well, actually, do you know, I don't think I'm gifted in moving chairs or something like that. It's always a case of saying, well, I've never done that, but perhaps I could give it a go with God's help. So will we be servant-hearted in our response to Jesus? And in the same way with Jethro in chapter 18, by doing this, we help people to know about God. Because that's the ministry of the local church, helping others to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. So living for God includes sharing the work of being the local church. But it's not just church. It's every part of our lives. And here are some words from a great hymn. Fill now my life, O Lord my God, in every part with praise, that my whole being may proclaim your being and your ways. Praise in the common things of life, its goings out and in. Praise in each duty and every deed, exalted or unseen. It's something for every part of our life. Responding to Jesus' rescue by living lives of service in Jesus' name. He gave up everything for me. How can I not do everything for him? So what will we do? What will we do about the great thing that God has done for us? In Jesus, God provides a rescue that is for anyone. As Jethro comes to the Lord, it's a sign of what Jesus will do. And that now includes you and me, but it includes everyone we know as well, whatever they look like, whatever they're like now before the Lord. How can we help them? How can we respond to this great thing that God has done? And what are we going to do about the great thing that we can do for God? Respond to Jesus' rescue by living lives of service in Jesus' name. Jethro's fix stopped Moses burning out, but more importantly, it helped more people to know about God. How can we be more servant-hearted and help more people to know about God? Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jethro and the wisdom you gave him and the change of heart that you gave him. And we praise you that he is part of that great fulfillment that ultimately sees Jesus bringing the rescue he has done to everyone from every nation. Thank you, that includes us now. And we pray that you'd stir up a great response in our hearts of love and service. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.